Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Kaynes Technology India Limited 1Q FY24 earnings conference call, hosted by IIFL Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Renu Baid Pugalia from IIFL Securities. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Darwin. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the first quarter FY24 earnings conference call of Kaynes Technology India Limited. From the management, we have with us today Mr. Ramesh Kunhikannan, Founder and Managing Director, Mrs. Savitha Ramesh, Chairperson, Mr. Jairam Sampath, Whole-time Director and Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Rajesh Sharma, CEO, and Mr. Neeraj Vinayak, Head of Investor Relations. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Kunhikannan for his opening remarks, thereafter which we open the session for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Renu Ji. Good afternoon, friends. I would like to welcome everyone present on the call for the entire team of Kaynes. I have along with me on the call Mrs. Ramesh, Chairperson of the Board, Mr. Jairam Sampath, CFO, Mr. Rajesh Sharma, our CEO, and Mr. Neeraj Vinayak, our Investor Relations in charge, and Orient Capital and our Investor Relations partners. I would like to briefly introduce the company to all the participants. Founded in 1988, Kaynes Technology is a leading end-to-end IoT solution-enabled integrated electronics manufacturing in India. We have capabilities across the entire spectrum of ESDM services. We have an experience in providing conceptual design, process engineering, integrated manufacturing, and lifecycle support for major players in automotive, industry, aerospace, and defense. We are actively present on the outer space, medical, and railways too. We have a well-diversified portfolio of around 300+ customers in 26 countries across multiple industry verticals. Coming to our performance from the quarter ended June 30, 2023, our total revenue was INR 2,972 million, registering a growth of around 49% year-on-year. Our growth was largely led by strong demand in industrial, railway, IoT and IT, aerospace vertical, and to some extent, automobile and EV. Our Q1 EBITDA was INR 403 million, compared to the last year of INR 246 million. PAT for Q1 stands at 246 million, compared to INR 100 million in the last year. We continue to witness strong demand across verticals, with monthly order inflow reaching to 2,164 million per month, from rupees 1,515 million during Q4 of 2023. Order book as of June 30th stood at INR 30,004 million. Friends, let me share a few details around our business. In traditional ICE engine auto segment, we are witnessing growing functionality at entry levels, which is propelling the demand of electronic assemblies. We have added two more Tier 1 clients during the quarter and will have steadily growth in the segment. Our EV, we are witnessing indigenization of assemblies in India due to better control on quality and cost. Also getting increased inquiries on support on design aspects. We have added another OEM this quarter, and are confident of doing significant growth versus previous year. On IT infra side, India IT penetration remains low, and government is increasingly focused on upgrading the same. There is a huge demand for servers and laptops under various projects. Government is also pushing for local procurement of the same. We have already collaborated with CDAC in terms of technology and aligning with the OEMs to manufacture them in India, purely for the India Rural Computerization Program. We are confident of sizable contribution from this segment in FY24 and expect it to ramp up significantly in the year to come. On railways, there is significant amount of work being planned on revamping the existing infrastructure along with adding newer lines. In terms of our scope of work, we are presently doing work with rail signaling, metro signaling, and onboard equipment like track wiring, etc. We are working closely with ministry to have majority of the requirement being indigenously met, given we are associated with leading players in the segment, so significant allocation should aid us in terms of better revenues too. Lastly, we have taken a decision to enter into the OSAT business, assembly, test, mark and packing. It's a service business which aligns well with our DNA. We focus on few packages and product category like QFNs and other which power devices for leading global chip manufacturers. Automotive and EV as a vertical will be our key focus area. With addition of OSAT capability, we can provide a more integrated offering to our customers. It is a sunrise sector with good government support, and we want to be one of the early entrants in the space. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Jairam Sampath to take you through our financial performances. Thank you all. Over to you, Jairam.
Thank you, Ramesh ji. Good day, everyone. Thank you for joining us on this call. I will be presenting the financial performance of the company for the period ended 30th June 2023. For the quarter ended 30th June 2023, our consolidated total revenues was 2,972 million, representing a 49% year-on-year growth. The consolidated EBITDA for the quarter was INR 403 million, showing a 64% increase year-on-year basis. The EBITDA margin for the quarter was 13.5% compared to Q1 FY23 of 12.3%. Our consolidated PAT for the quarter was INR 246 million, up 145% year-on-year with a PAT margin of 8.3% compared to last year's Q1 percentage of about 5%. The net working capital for Q1 FY24 was number. Our inventory was higher as we had to make advance purchases keeping in mind the requirements of the upcoming quarters. We've been slightly lenient in terms of payables, which also contributed towards reported working capital numbers. Our gross debt for the quarter was at about 2,359 million in FY23 with cash and cash equivalents of about INR 4,821 billion as compared to INR 4,860 million of FY23. Our ROE and ROC adjusted for annualized portions of proceeds is at 16.8% and 21.7% respectively for Q1 FY24. The return ratios are impacted by the combination of seasonality, which is present in our business, along with the expanded base post public issue. Coming to our expansion plans, we have allocated the INR 900 to expand to upgrade our existing facilities in Mysore, Manesar, Bengaluru in Chennai, and acquired 120,000 square feet built-up space in Manesar. It is expected to be operationalized in coming months. Additionally, we have earmarked 1,493 million for investment into Kane's Electronics Manufacturing Private Limited for setting up a new facility at Chamarajnagar, Karnataka, whose first phase will be operationalized by Q2 of FY24. India is taking strong strides to position itself as a global hub for electronic system design and manufacturing. and we believe that we are rightly placed to capitalize on this opportunity. With this, I would request all the participants to come up with their questions. I now open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Aaron Armstrong. Please go ahead with your question.
Okay. Thanks very much for taking the question. The question is around your margins. So your margins are, say, around 13% EBITDA margin. You have peers domestically and globally making more like 3 or 4%. So could you talk a little bit about that difference, please, and whether it's particular sub-verticals or categories, which ones are driving your high margins?
Yeah. So essentially, we work in high mix, low to medium volume, high-tech sector of electronics manufacturing. And we work in six different sectors, starting with automotive electronics, industrial and EV electronics, aerospace and defense and aerospace, medical electronics, IT, IoT, and other electronics. The contribution of consumer products in our business is minuscule, and most of the business is driven by industrial type of electronics. And typically, we have found over the last several years that we have been operating, the gross margins are higher in these businesses. Among the different sectors, well, I can't give you exact numbers, but sectors which are very low volume and high variety and high tech, such as railway signaling or aerospace and defense and industrial, they tend to be higher on margins. Whereas sectors such as automotive and consumer, etc., they tend to be a little lower on the gross margin level. And while comparing to the other industry players, the reason is that we have a proper diversification in our portfolio. And within the portfolio also, we specialize in a few type of products manufacturing so that we get scale economies in those products. For instance, in automotive, we are one of the largest manufacturers of lighting systems and so on, and signaling, etc. So specialization within vertical and across vertical different diversified businesses leads to this higher level of margins that you see in us.
That's great. Thank you. So it's more on the category side. So you basically are only in categories that are above a certain margin level. Is there a threshold that you work to? Do you deliberately avoid categories that are, say, single-digit margins? Kind of how do you manage your category mix?
The short answer to the question is that we actively look at our portfolio for profitability, and there are three factors which we look at before onboarding any business. One, whether the business is long term. Two, whether the business has got high criticality and technology. And three, whether we can in future make reasonable profits in the business. So that's how we manage our profitability in our business portfolio. We can have the next question.
Sorry, if I could maybe have one follow-up, please. Can you talk about why the categories you're in are higher margin? Is it because there are barriers to entry, low competition, or there's lots of value add, or you bring unique technology to the table? So I understand that it's your category mix, but why are those categories high margin, please?
Yeah. So the first and foremost reason is that the price paid to us is similar to price paid to any other similar competitor in the marketplace. So that being the case, obviously, if our margins are higher, we are working on value engineering, etc. But there are six basic factors which affect profitability. One, if it's a low volume production, normally margins are higher. Second, if the complexity is high, margins are higher. If the criticality of the products that you do is high, then margins are higher. If the percentage of your production as a percentage of the customer's production is low, then they are what you call the squeeze factor is much, much lower. And the fifth is the entry barrier in terms of how easy is for customer to replace you. If it's very easy, then margins are lower. So these are the six factors that affect the total margins in any category.
That's great. Thank you. And maybe your kind of medium to long-term margin outlook, please. And then I'll rejoin the question queue. But thanks very much for all those details.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we request you to please restrict your questions to two questions per participant. We have the next question from the line of Ravi Swaminathan from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question, sir. Congrats on a good set of numbers. My first question is regarding the mix of revenues in automobile between traditional IC engine-based business vis-a-vis the EVs. And is there any sizable margin difference or working capital difference between the two businesses within the automobile sector?
Yeah, so essentially the IC engine based automotive sector is primarily electronics, which is lesser in complexity compared to the EV electronics. EV electronics is tracks more nearly the electronics in the industrial sector.
Yeah, so Ravi, we were talking about the difference between IC engine electronics and EV electronics. So the primary difference is in the complexity. So IC engine electronics tends to be lower complexity and it's less criticality also because it is performing auxiliary functions. The main functions of the engines, etc., are mechanical in nature. Whereas in EV, the entire car runs on these electronics. So that's why the profile of margins are likely to be better here because the job is also more like an industrial work. And it's also demand heavy work. A lot of import substitution is happening. So price points that we get in India are comparable to what you get on imported material. So to that extent, that this will be superior to IC engine electronics, the EV electronics.
Got it. And how much is EV as a proportion of today's automobile revenue, any sense, and how it can be over the next 3 to 4 years, any sense on it? Is it likely to catch up more in two-wheelers than four-wheelers, your views?
You see, EV is an upcoming sector, and it has got very strong traction. So obviously, today, if you see, it may be about 10% or 15% compared to the total automotive work as of FY23. And this year, maybe the percentage will increase much more. But really, we can't hazard a guess, but it's a very strong demand that we can see for electric vehicles. Different types of four-wheelers are there. Then there is charging infrastructure. So suffice it to say, it's going to be very strong demand.
Got it, sir. And sir, with respect to our presence in the consumer durable side, I believe it's also a pretty large market. Compared to other companies, we are slightly on the lower side with in that. Is it a conscious decision or we are likely to increase our presence there also significantly?
This is Ramesh Kannan here. It is nothing to do. Our company has designed certain combination of orders which we will take. So accordingly, we are rationalizing it. So there's nothing like we will not take at all. On the other hand, we have enough in our own sector where we are practicing.
Okay. Got it, sir. And with respect to progress in the telecom, with respect to the PLI that we have applied, etc., if you can throw light on how telecom can progress in terms of size, revenue, run rate over the next 2-3 years, that would be great. That's my last question.
Yeah, as far as the PLI is concerned, we have got the order from the customer and we have started doing all the trials. In the coming, this quarter, we will be doing the billing and this will come into force. Telecom sector also is likely to grow, but we are a last entrant in that, so we will definitely catch up with the situation.
Got it, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, to ensure the management is able to address questions from all participants, please restrict your questions to two per participant. You may join the queue again if you have a follow-up. The next question is from the line of Rahul Gajare from Haitong Securities India Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon and congratulations on good performance in the first quarter. Sir, I have a question on the CapEx side. Now, you indicated during the IPO, you intend to spend 250 crore rupees on CapEx, a large part of that going towards Chamarajanagar. I wanted to understand, last time you did mention that you want to set up bare board or PCB manufacturing in India. Is there any development in that front which you can share with us in terms of what are your plans, capacity, location, the kind of technology that you are planning to put over there?
Sure.
Yeah. So that's my first question.
Yeah. So as far as Chamarajanagar is concerned, it is getting developed, and the building is almost getting completed, at least the phase, what we call the alpha building. And that will have about one-third to one-half of the total square feet area that we expect in Chamarajanagar. And so that will support multiple activities across all the different verticals that we are working. As far as the bare PCB is concerned, we have got the government approval, etc. And we are working, and we are going to be doing the high-end PCBs here. We are not going to do commercially high-volume, low-end PCBs. So probably it will be more like two-layer and above and more towards higher-layer PCBs. And so that is on. But all of these businesses require some time for technology development, partnerships, and setting up the factory, etc. So we are making sure that we get the best of the minds in the industry to work on this project, being a business which is similar to ours in terms of construct but different in technology. So you can see some improvements by probably end of the year. We can have more concrete report on that.
Okay. And in terms of, do you think you will have to raise funds for funding that PCB manufacturing facility, or?
For PCB manufacturing per se, bare PCB, we may not require too much of funds. But of course, we do have, I think Ramesh ji mentioned in response to the earlier in his during his initial address, that we are seriously contemplating on OSAT business. And we are because government is also providing a lot of incentives for companies to start off, and we are also kind of deep-dived into it. So that may require some investment different from what we have raised in our normal during the prospectus. Yeah. Correct.
Yeah. So much capital. Now, if you are looking at growing at about 40%-50% over the next several years, this will entail significant working capital. From the money that we had raised during the IPO, I think we've used a large part of that money. So do you see that the short-term borrowing will actually go up to fund the kind of growth that we are envisaging?
Sorry. Could you just repeat the question a little?
Yeah. Sir, basically, given that we are looking at revenue growth of about 40%-50% for the next several years, maybe three to four years or so, with that kind of growth and the kind of working capital position that we are in, there will be requirement of additional funding for working capital. How do you intend to raise that? Given the money raised during the IPO toward working capital is pretty much used right now.
Yeah. Correct. Correct. Yeah. No. That is an obvious thing. See, we want to match the source of funds to the nature of the usage. So obviously, working capital through borrowings is a good idea. We don't want to use equity funds for working capital kind of activity. And going forward, there are two ways of funding this. One is we will squeeze out the waste in our system by reducing the net working capital days. So we are kind of on an annual basis. Last year, we did about 98 days. So maybe at the end of this year, another 10 days, we'll knock it off. So that will give us some amount of money, 10 days out of, let's say, 1,700-1,800 crore turnover. 10 days would be a fair amount of money. Plus, we will also raise further banking channels. Say we'll get some loans, etc., to make sure that we fund the working capital needs. As far as CapEx is concerned, other than new projects like OSAT, etc., we have done some calculation, and from FY25 onwards, we may have to expand capacities in our existing ESDM business, for which our internally accrued funds will be sufficient.
So my last question is on the order book.
Sorry to interrupt. If you have further questions, we request you to please rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Bhoomika Nair from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon and congratulations to the entire team. So just wanted some clarification on the previous question itself on the working capital days. If you see in the first quarter, we've seen an increase in the inventory days, both on QOQ and YOY basis. So if you can just explain how is that, you know, what has driven this increase in the inventory days? And if I remember correctly, we were, you know, trying to source a lot more locally, warehousing, etc., which could kind of drive that down. And as you said, we are trying to cut down on the working capital days. So how is the progress on that aspect? That's my first question.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the things that we've said that before, and we should note that this is significant.
Sir, sorry to interrupt, but you're not audible at the moment, sir.
Yeah, can you hear us now?
Yes. I would request you to please repeat the last few seconds, sir.
Yeah. So one of the reasons why the number of days looks exaggerated is also because the first quarter is about 16 to 18% of the whole year, and as we go through the entire year, the inventory kind of averages out. And also during the first quarter, second quarter, and the third quarter, we actually keep stocking up a little bit, in preparation for the orders, execution, etc. And also there is an effect of there is a small delay of say 2 weeks to a month. If it happens at the end of the quarter, then you would make it look as if there is additional inventory available here. So in terms of qualitatively, the number of net working capital days will be similar to last year. Maybe it will improve by the end of the year.
Okay. So the other question that you mentioned in your opening remarks was on the railway signaling, where you're seeing a lot of traction and a lot of government spending that is happening. So, you know, have we seen some traction on ground in terms of execution? When do you see that kind of picking up? Any new client additions or increased wallet share? If you can just talk about that, because that's a fairly large opportunity for us from a medium to long-term perspective.
Yeah, so in terms of client addition, we have a large multinational client added. We can't disclose the name yet. On the other hand, there have been very serious attempts from government side to redo the signaling systems in 3,000 stations, which have actually they have implemented the signaling systems about a couple of decades ago. So total of 6,000 stations worth of signaling, and the signaling in between is getting converted into the kind of signaling that we have, where we hold about 80 to 90% of market share. And we expect this to happen over the next couple of years. So we can see some great traction in railway signaling business going forward.
And would that mean that, you know, railway will grow, so margins will remain healthy, but, you know, some expansion in working capital, because railways typically tend to have, as a segment, tends to have a little bit of a working capital, from that perspective?
Yeah, so when we say that we will improve the net working capital from 98 to, let's say, about 10 days during the year, we've considered all of those factors. Yeah, a few days here or there may be changed because of a different proportion of each business segment, but by and large, we think that we can definitely get our working capital, net working capital down by about 10 days this year.
Okay, sir. Great. I'll come back in the question queue. Wishing you all the best.
Thank you.
We have the next question from the line of Meet Jain from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. So my question is regarding our business vertical mix. Like in this quarter, we are seeing a high share of the OEM box build side. So earlier we mentioned that we are seeing some inquiries from the automotive part of conversion of PCBs and box build. So are we getting that kind of order flows in automotive business?
Yeah. So what is happening is we are coming back to our classical share of business across different verticals. So we have always been saying that broadly automotive tracks at about 30%, industrial tracks at about 30%, railway about 15 to 20%, aerospace about 10%. So our the orders that are coming in is moving towards that. And the moment you get the sector, other than non-automotive sectors, once their proportion increases, the box build automatically increases because most of the box build is from non-automotive sectors. So that's the main reason, Meek, that you see that kind of thing on the ground.
Okay. And on this PLI segment, like we earlier mentioned that we are getting orders from the white goods business. And I didn't get the telecom part.
Yeah. So in telecom also, we've got a business model done. We already designed our own product also. And we also have some large customers with whom we are working. So we will be definitely able to this year show some production in the telecom PLI too. In addition to already we do have white goods customers. But our reliance on these two new verticals is not high for this year's work. This is more like futuristic growth.
Okay. And in this white goods, earlier you mentioned that the consumer durables are basically a low margin business. So going forward with increasing share of this white goods, won't they dilute our margin profile?
Yeah, so we are not going to do too much of consumer durables, and the amount of work that we do is more in, let's say, appliances, electronics, wherein our design and our value addition is likely to be higher. So it is more like a balanced diet. So we do want to keep some consumers because they do have exposures to me, sometimes near technologies and sectors and high margin businesses within consumer. Especially.
Sir, sorry to interrupt, but you're not audible, sir.
Okay. I'll repeat the answer to that.
Yes.
So we have some amount of consumer electronics, like consumer durables in our portfolio. We prefer to do work wherein we have our own ODM, and so that we can, you know, control and maintain the margin profile a little nearer to our choice. But otherwise, we don't let it become beyond a certain percentage of our work.
Understood. Okay. Thank you a lot for the answer, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have the next question from the line of Dhanan Bagrodia from Ask Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers again. So I wanted to ask you now with this OSAT, which has been spoken about, maybe I've missed this earlier, any thoughts of our company and how we're looking at this process? Hello?
This is altogether a new business in India. It is more of a related business, but very highly technological as well as highly capital intensive. That is why Government of India is giving a good subsidy for this. We have a technical partner. Along with them only, we are doing it in India. I'm unable to tell you full details now. Appropriate time, we will be informing all of you.
Okay. So the capital expenditure which we're forecasting for the next year, does not include this, right?
No.
Yeah, the objects don't include the money for OSAT. That will be separately done.
Not even in this year's budget, it is included.
Okay, fine. Sure. And roughly, so what would be then our CapEx estimate without OSAT for the next couple of years?
Without OSAT, we probably will complete this 260 crores that we raised during the IPO time. So about 100 of that is consumed already. Another 160 crores will be the CapEx during this year. So FY25, maybe you can expect us to raise some more, actually implement some more CapEx based on our internal approval. So you can say in a steady state, you will have something like 100 to 200 crores of CapEx going in for our electronic manufacturing businesses. In addition to that, the other businesses where there is something new, we will do.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aniruddha Joshi from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so thanks for the opportunity and congrats for a good set of numbers. Sir, right now the Indian EMS industry is going through a super normal phase of growth. Obviously, we have seen Chinese EMS companies which are probably 10-15 years ahead of the Indian EMS company. So we see they are having relatively very inferior financials to Indian EMS companies. So while the growth phase is on right now for Indian EMS companies, what are the 3 to 4 things, differentiated things that we can do so as to improve the competitive advantages as well as the moats into the business, so that probably once the growth phase is over, the Indian EMS doesn't go the China EMS way. So what is our base and what are the 3 to 4 key important activities that Keynes is doing right now to improve the competitive advantages? Yeah, that's it. Thanks.
Sure, sir. So one of the fundamental differences between Indian EM company like Keynes Technology and a typical Chinese EMS is Chinese EMS specializes in a few product categories. So what happens is they increase the volume. So because of increase of volume, their margins tend to be lower. Whereas in our case, so we have a diversified portfolio. The second major difference that we do is that we do value engineering, and we make sure that we acquire the business and we target, instead of targeting high volume in the business, we target high margin in the business. That means once after acquiring the customer, we work on the material costs and other things through various means, technical as well as commercial, to make sure that we get the target margins that we require. Third thing is we do value-added businesses. That means we add some little bit of ODM. Within each sector also, we do those businesses which require complexity and criticality of working. So these are some of the things which will make sure that we grow the business in a way in which it has acceptable margins also.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Keyur Pandya from ICICI Prudential Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Congratulations to the team for good results. Sir, the question is on the CAPEX side. So I think earlier you mentioned during the IPO 250 crore of CAPEX from the primary issue, and I think 115 crore for working capital and 130 crore for debt repayments. If you can just share the status of each of these objects, how much of money has been spent, and a broad idea of what kind of investment would be required for bare PCB as well as for OSAT, with any guide, any timeline that you can share. Thank you.
Sure. So out of bare PCB was contemplated to be used out of the general corporate purpose, for which about 114 odd crores were earmarked. And so we have enough money. We're not spent much there, so we can use that out of that some funds, maybe 50% of those funds for bare PCB. Coming back to 130 crore rate for debt bearing, that has been paid off to banks and we have reduced our debt by that amount. And as far as the long-term working capital is concerned, we still have a cushion of about 30-35 crores, which we can utilize from the objects to fund the working capital. So that leads us to the balance 250 crore of fixed asset, that is CAPEX. In that CAPEX, we have used about 100 crores out of that. Last year, some 70 crores. This year, about 40 crores. So balance 150 crores, we'll consume it for Chamarajnagar, Mysore, and the Manesar plants during this year. And going forward, since we are going at about 50% kind of growth rate, so anything beyond the 3,000 crore kind of number will require additional capacities to be built in the EMS area. So we think that our internal generation of revenue will be sufficient, assuming an asset turnover of about 6 to 7. So for every 1,000 crore, we may require about 150 crore to 200 crores of CAPEX, which we will generate internally. So from FY, say, 26 onwards, 25 onwards, actually, we'll start investing this for the next year's capacities, for the additional business that we are planning.
Okay. Second, on the receivable side, whatever numbers we see of receivables in absolute or in days, is that, so basically what is the general credit period and this is the actual number which we see in the balance sheet, or we see some kind of factoring or bills discounting so the actual receivable, so that we get cash earlier than what is the credit period? I mean, any such arrangement?
Yeah, so we had this receivables being high because of the nature of the business. So we took a conscious decision to do factoring and get the money inside and then get it off our books, because this factoring is done at recourse to the customer. So as soon as they receive the material through various entities, so they do supply chain finance and we give them some little bit of factoring charges or bill discounting charges or so cash discounts, etc. So obviously this is a little costly. You might see the interest amount spent is a little higher, but this is a easier problem to solve. Going forward, what we will do is we will standardize with a few suppliers, maybe one or two supply chain finance companies, so that we can get a better rate of interest, rate of discounting compared to what we are having to spend now, because we are doing to some many agencies with small footprint. So going forward, supply chain finance will be done, but with companies which can give us better deals. So you can, so it becomes like to like, because we borrow at about 7.2% or so. So we should be able to discount around that number. So we are working. So by the end of the year, we'll probably finalize with one or two agencies to do this activity, so that there's no difference in this. There's no value disruption while we do factoring. Hmm?
So just clarification, so the, what would be the actual credit period?
Actual credit period varies from, some customers 30 days, some 45 days, some 60 days, and some 90 days. So credit period will be less than 90 days for sure. And if you take an average, we can probably bring it down to about 60 days, you know. If we were perfectly collecting and if customers were perfectly paying.
Okay, understood. Thank you a lot. All the best. We'll get back in with you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Piyush Khandelwal from Bank of India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to get a sense on the margin side, because if I look at quarterly, there's a lot of volatility in the margins. And since you already have an order book, so, I mean, what kind of, let's say, margins that we can look at on an annual basis? Is it like 13-14% range, 15% range? Because last quarter you delivered 16-odd%, this quarter 13.5%, annualized basis is somewhere around 15%. So just trying to understand the annualized margin range.
Sure. Margins will be, EBITDA margins will be about 15%, and you can expect PAT at about 9-10% for this year. Because our gross margins are stable, so because of that, we can confirm that based on the order book quality, we have done the math. The only why you see the volatility is because the amount of business that is done each quarter is different. So it kind of starts, let's say this year it started at about 13.5%. And obviously, it will exceed 16-odd% during the fourth quarter. Average, you can expect 15% EBITDA and PAT around 9-10%.
All right. Understood. Thanks, sir. Sir, another question is on this OSAT opportunity that you spoke about, although you mentioned that you won't be sharing much details. So, I mean, you already had a technology tie-up, or you are in discussion with some, let's say, large OEMs. Just wanted to get a sense on this, because you also mentioned that it's a heavy capex business.
We have already gone ahead and come to an understanding as far as the partnership is concerned. We will be shortly exercising it and going in for Government of India approvals for this.
And the capex will be in, I mean, is it in partnership where you will also do some amount of capex and the partner that you're onboarding will do, or the capex will be on your term, on your balance sheet?
We will do the capex ourselves, but there is significant subsidy available from the government, so we think it's the right time to get it.
What kind of subsidy, any ballpark number? I mean, let's say if 100 crores of capex you do, then what kind of subsidy you can expect?
Post-approval only we can answer.
This is too early to answer this. You will have to excuse us, because we will come back to you all appropriate time.
Because we need government approvals before we can say.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anirudh Singhi from Dalal & Broacha Portfolio Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. My first question is about smart metering. So we've seen a lot of orders coming in lately for smart meters, and the government is trying to replace 25 crore meters. So what is the opportunity there for us? Like, what is the revenue we're doing right now? Who are our clients, and what could the opportunity be?
As far as smart meter is concerned, as you know, we are working with some large Slovenian companies with Indian outfit. They've got orders in a couple of electricity boards, and the requirements is in millions of numbers. Obviously, smart meter being a new metering product, it takes some time for implementation, and even though the orders have been issued by various electricity boards, etc., most of the OEMs are taking their time to install new smart meters. As far as we are concerned, we are also an ODM player. We have our own design. So going forward, we the combination of both contract manufacturing, that is EMS, as well as ODM, we think that it can be an important part of our portfolio in the industrial sector.
Okay, and we won't be doing any tendering ourselves. We won't be participating in any of the tenders ourselves.
No, we are not typically geared up to participate directly into government tenders. So that's not our business model yet. So we continue with the working either with the OEMs directly or in some cases through a tiered approach, you know.
Okay. And secondly, what would be our utilization right now? Or in mostly, what is the peak revenue we can do with our current capacity?
Yeah. With using all the money that we've received during the IPO, we should probably go to about 3,000 crores. And beyond that, we will internally generate for our existing business, that is ESDF. And I think it's self-sufficient because the cash generation from FY25 onwards will be sufficient for future capacity then required for new business.
So this 3,000 crores would be after the new plant, right? Currently, how much would we
be able to do? See, currently, if you see currently, this year, 1,700, 1,800, the new plant contribution will not be huge. So roughly you can say with this new plant coming in, we go to about 3,000. So currently, even if we stop the work today, maybe up to 2,000 crores we can do probably with all the machines that have been ordered and installed, you know.
Okay. And the Chamaraja plant could do about 1,000 crores peak. Is that a good estimate?
So, sorry, can you repeat that?
The Chamaraja plant that could do about 1,000 crores peak revenue. Would that be a good estimate?
Yeah, even more probably. It depends on the kind of business that we do from there. So, yeah, that's a good ballpark to keep. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Pulkit Patni from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah.
Hi.
Yes. So my question is on margins. I mean, you mentioned why we have higher margins than peers globally. But, you know, whenever we speak to EMS companies in India, everybody wants to do pretty much the same segments. So do you think there's a possible downside risk to these margins over the medium term? Because at the end of the day, the capabilities are getting built at multiple companies to be able to do the same thing. Just wanted to know your thoughts on that.
As far as we are concerned, we have planned for the immediate future in the short term. We can consistently do this and we are able to see a visibility for the next 24 months.
And
our company's activities is designed in such a way next 24 months there should not be any up or down.
Yeah.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sayan Das Sharma from Bajaj Finserv Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, most of my questions have been answered. Just a couple of basic clarifications. First, sir, last quarter, if my memory serves me right, you said that there was a 60 to 70 crore order, which was deferred. I mean, you could have completed that last quarter because of some bottlenecks, you couldn't. So if I assume that revenue in Q1, then the growth looks significantly lower than what the guideline numbers said. So is there anything I'm missing or is it the right way to look at it?
No. Actually, the overflow of businesses typically happens not just exactly to the quarter. It depends on when the sales arrive, etc.
You're right, we do have some finished goods, et cetera, with us, awaiting the confirmation from customers, et cetera. So, what happens is whenever we are addressing some of these newer segments, so there is always sometimes there is some delays in the offtake of material. Sometimes there is a rethinking by customers about their own strategy, et cetera. So first quarter typically suffers from these problems. So you're right, about 30-40 crores additionally could have been done in the quarter, but for the year, we are already saying that 1,700-1,800 crores is what we think we can do. So you can look at it like that. We are not still completely out of the supply chain woes. Though 90% of the problems have been resolved, still, 10% of shortages are still lingering, and maybe during this year, I think it will get clarified fully. So when we exit this year, you can say that, you know, one miss in one quarter can be taken up in the other quarter, since they are being made against the confirmed purchase order.
Got it. Perfect. So my second question is just, I mean, you have been growing pretty fast last few quarters, a few years, couple of years. So, if you can just share some sense on how much of this growth has come from wallet share gains of existing customers, and how much has come from new customer addition? I understand you are not sharing the exact number of customers, but any qualitative sense on that?
Currently, what you see are guidance and whatever numbers in the EMS business, 80% is from existing customers, and that comes from both combination of wallet share gain in existing products and some new products that they are trying to do with us. 20%, roughly 20% is the kind of traction we are seeing from the new customers. And going forward, this 20% number is going to propel further. As you know, when we did last reckoning, the imported electronics is of a very high order number, and import substitution is being now pursued actively by the government. They are also talking about it openly. So you can expect new customers share in the future to go up significantly.
Thank you, sir. And one last small thing, if I may. I mean, you have done a commendable job on increasing the box build share, which is now about 34%. Any sense where we could see this maybe a couple of years out, any aspirational numbers that you have in mind? That's it from me, sir.
So essentially, see, our aspirational number is that if we have something like 30% box build, sorry, 40% box build, 40% PCB assembly, and 20% of design, it's a good portfolio to have. You'll have a healthy mix of new products, and it will also have a healthy mix of profitable products. From that perspective, yeah, we need to improve with the amount of ODM that we are doing. Otherwise, if all the businesses grow the way we had contemplated it across all the sectors, then this 40-40-20 is likely to rise. So that's how we look at it.
Thank you, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Keyur Pandya from ICICI Prudential Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Sir, just one clarification. See, post the IPO, if I'm not wrong, Mysore is one facility where we have already done the CapEx and the additional facility is available. And Chamarajanagar, you mentioned that the first phase would be, which will be probably 35% or 40% of the proposed capacity. So when will that be available? So as of now, what is the utilization overall, and what is the upcoming plans, say, in next 9 months? That is first question.
Yeah. So broadly speaking, about 250 crore that we raised for CapEx, about 100 crore have been utilized, and already the building and construction is going on. We have ordered machines, et cetera. So during next balance in 9 months of the year, you can see the entire 150 crore to be consumed, and maybe readiness for doing up to 3,000 crore should be there by the end of this. Maybe not exactly end of this year, but maybe the first quarter, full operation is likely to happen.
Can you say all plants are coming up this year?
Yeah.
What all plants are, facilities are coming up this year, which will be available for use in FY 2024?
Yeah. Chamarajanagar is one, and we are contemplating on an additional plant in Pune region. So, these are the two things you can look forward to during FY 2024.
For whatever guidance you have given, do we have facilities available for that kind of growth?
Yes. For the guidance numbers, we already have secured the capacity.
Okay, okay, understood. And just one quarter number, but the automobile revenue, based on what you have shown in the presentation, the growth is not significant year over year, only for Q1. So is there any seasonality, or this is how the business behaves, or it is, I think, 95 crore versus 82 crore last year?
See, it is like this. That's why we don't lay too much emphasis on one particular sector doing well, and we don't celebrate that, because many times there are cyclical changes every quarter to quarter. We still think that automotive is a strong sector. First quarter is not a sector to judge. In fact, what has happened is even the EV, etc., first quarter they take a pause, they look at all their field installs, they look at any technical changes are required, etc. But you can see the sector picking up. And it is not bad for us. I mean, 30% automotive is what we've been seeing from beginning as a average number. So that is okay. And other sectors are picking up for us, like we said, railway, industrial, aerospace, and IT, IoT. So from that perspective, but it is not a dip in automotive. We don't see any such signs in the ground.
Understood, sir. Okay. Thanks a lot, and all the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amar Maurya from Alpha Accurate Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks a lot for the opportunity.
Sir, you're not audible.
Can you speak loudly?
Amar, we request you to please use the handset and speak closer to
me. Am I audible?
Yes, you are. You may go ahead, sir.
Yes.
Yeah. So, sir, first question is a little bit more on the working capital cycle, and primarily on the funding of the growth. So basically, sir, what I can understand is that this year we had guided for something around 1700 crores kind of a top line, which means, like, 15%, 510 crore kind of a EBITDA. And so basically, and if I see the EBITDA to cash flow conversion, I mean, historically also has not been more than 25 to 30% average. In that context, what I see here is that, the major money which we had raised through the IPO will be consumed in working capital. So I'm just trying to understand how we will fund this for growth and then for the working capital.
Yeah. So as far as objects is concerned, we are using exactly what is earmarked for. So 250 crore will go into CapEx, we kept it in the FDs, etc. Of the remaining, there are some general corporate which we are actually not using for any working capital. Two things. One was long-term working capital. Other is, of course, closing the debt, which is essentially funding the working capital. Yes, indeed, they are done. So, see, what happens is when you are in growth phase, we cannot, the regulation of working capital is not our objective, but to secure business and then to perform on it. So, as you know, last year, and maybe it is extending to this year, a little bit of supply chain difficulties in getting components, etc. So we are not taking any discount that they are. So if you notice, our payables are also, we are keeping it quite generous, in the sense we are not putting too much pressure on our suppliers right now. So because the growth rate of 50%, etc., is possible only if you can supply the components for the same thing. So with that perspective, we do have several levers to handle the fund additional businesses, etc. And this 25-30% of cash flow versus EBITDA, maybe it can be taken up to about 50% by the end of the year, or at least in the first quarter or so. So we think that we can pull out some of the network capital out of by working on inventories and local supplies, and also working on supply chain finance, etc. And at that point in time, when our purchases also will be larger, we will also lean on our suppliers also to fund a little bit to pick up. So all these three factors together, I'm sure we can get that additional money to fund the working capital, and also the return to cash will be higher, so we can fund money for the capex too.
Okay, so basically EBITDA to, let's say, OCF, are we saying that by the end of this year we will be at least 55 to 60% EBITDA to OCF?
That's the aspiration, sir. It also depends on how fast the business is growing. So supposing for some reason we get a big order, because we expect the fourth quarter to be higher than usual. So if that happens, then what will happen is we will try and some in attempting to do so, we might overstock a little bit. But yeah, by the first quarter of next year, certainly on a running basis, on a 12-month running basis, we should get there, 40-50% kind of
the CFT EBITDA.
Because, sir, if you know,
sorry,
even if you reduce your...
We request you to please rejoin the queue if you have further questions. The next question is from the line of Chandan B.R. from Earthwise India. Please go ahead. Chandan, the line for you has been unmuted. You may proceed with your question. As there's no response from the current participant, we will move to the next participant, which is Mayur Patel from 361 Asset Management. Please go ahead.
So, congratulations for a robust set of numbers, and I highly appreciate the high growth path which the company, you know, is able to achieve. But coming to the same point which the previous discussion was there, I would, you know, just a very humble suggestion that in this high growth phase, please do look at the cash flow conversion, because if OCF, EBITDA to OCF conversion would remain low, then very soon, regularly, you will need capital raise, and then that 30, 40, 50% growth path will not create much value for any stakeholders. So that's the cash flow generation. I would request to keep that as a one of the high priority, you know, factors apart from, you know, other things. That's the only humble suggestion from my side.
No. Oh, thank you, Mahesh. Exactly. We are actually do not look, look at any other metrics other than ROCE as the most important metrics. We are keeping track of it, and we make sure that that moves upwards on an annual basis, and also the cash conversion ratio also will... we are tracking every quarter. I was only explaining the nature of business growth that forces us to temporarily up the inventories a little bit.
Sure, sure. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as our last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Renu Baid Pugalia for closing comments. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you for giving us the opportunity to host the call and the audience for being extremely participative. I would like to now pass it on to the management for any closing comments or remarks.
Our apologies for having some telecom connectivity problem. I'm sure next time onwards this should not happen. Otherwise, thank you very much for all participants and the host team having us in this call. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of IIFL Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.